In Galatians, the 5th chapter, 1 and 13, Paul talks about freedom based on this. See, you can't have freedom without free will. It was for freedom that Christ set us free, Paul said. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to the yoke of slavery. It was for freedom. That's what I'm talking about. Verse 13, for you were called to freedom, brethren, only don't turn your freedom into opportunity for the flesh. What's that? It's volition. It's choice. Don't do this, do this. Don't walk in the flesh, walk in the spirit. It's a choice. It's because you have volition. And freedom is what created. The divine institution number one is freedom because man has volition. This is why our Constitution is such a magnificent thing. This is why the Bill of Rights and the Constitution that make up the inner structure of our system in America is so phenomenal. I mean, we've been endowed by our Creator with inalienable rights. That's volition. Freedom. Inalienable rights. In 1 Corinthians 4, chapter verse 9, Paul hit on this when he said, for I think God has exhibited us as apostles, last of all as men condemned to death, because we have become a spectacle to the world, watch this, both to angels and to men. What is that deal? What does that mean? That we've become a spectacle to angels and to mankind. What is the deal? You see, the whole deal here is that now we're connected to God and represent His program and His scheme in the world. We now have a game plan. God has the game book called the Bible, and we operate from that, and that is God's scheme against the devil. And the devil has a scheme that we're about to look against him and his team. That's why Paul talked the way he did in 2 Corinthians 2:11 about we are not ignorant of his schemes. In Revelation, the 20th chapter, verse 15, if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. That's choice. It's all about volition. If you believe in the primary deal over here with God, that God sent His Son to die for your sins, was buried and raised again, when you believe it, you're moved into a position, your name is in the book, and you are forever. And if it's not, then you're in a lake of fire. See, you're on one team or the other. There's only two teams. You're on His team, you're going to lake of fire. If you're on God's team, you're going to heaven. It's not complicated. It's not complicated. You're going to be on one of these teams before you get out of here. Now, I don't mean right here, but I mean out of the big picture. Now, this doctrinal principle is played out by Satan's first attack upon Adam and Eve in the garden. So I'm going to deal with it. Five schemes. Here's the first one before we have to take a break. One scheme learned from the first attack upon the human race involved defeating mankind through volition, through choice. I mean, when you study Genesis 3rd chapter, Adam and Eve and the serpent in the Garden of Eden, you're going to find this first scheme right up there. Satan understands from getting the angels to follow him in eternity past, right? He had to convince them to follow him. Listen, he had to convince the angels to follow him rather than God. Now, listen, if he stopped at your door, whatever you're selling, you'd probably buy. I mean, this guy was slick, right? I mean, he could sell. When he gets to the garden, he's got man and woman in innocence, he starts selling. Because listen, he's been successful at that. He's got a third of the angels to follow him. He has deceived them, convinced them, and they followed him. They followed him to hell. You ever say, well, they followed him to hell and back. There's no back. You follow him to hell. He comes down here, and now we see, when we study, and I look for it, when we studied Isaiah, Ezekiel, and Revelation 12 talking about this fall, you look for the schemes, couldn't find them. But when you study how he worked against mankind, you find the schemes. What he used there, he's using here, and God's exposing it. And that's why we find the five schemes. And one of the things he knew that he had to beat us in volition. The only way he can beat us is volitionally. Because man is a free agent. That's the only way he can get him. Man has got to choose, just like the angels were free agents. And they had to choose to follow him and not God. Down here, he understands that his scheme is that he has to get man, he has to convince man volitionally to choose him, not God. It's not difficult. It's not a big difficult thing to understand. You understand? Like, oh, this is complicated. Oh, my head is hurting. Oh, how can I figure this out? Look, either follow him or follow God. He understands that he's got to convince you volitionally as a free agent to follow him and not God. This is not brain surgery. Now, he knows that that's the deal. Now listen to me. Are you listening to me? This is the deal in your life. We're no different. This is the same deal in your life. Whether you're an unsaved person or a saved person, he can only work with volition. God works with it, he works with it. God can't work with anything else, he can't work with anything. God has to convince you with your volition, you're a free agent. God has to convince you to believe in him. Satan's got to convince you not to believe in him, but to believe in him. That's the angelic conflict. That's what the war is over. That's why it's difficult to get you to stay, keep your head in the Word of God. That's how hard it is to get the Word of God in you and get you to walk by it. It's not that it's difficult to learn it. You say it's difficult to live it. You know why? Angelic conflict. It's about getting you to choose to go against what you know the Word of God tells you to do. The Word of God tells you the right thing, and the devil tells you, you don't believe that, do you? You don't. Why? He's trying to take all the fun away from you. He's trying to take you. He's trying to, suppose you missed that and then died today and see what you'd have missed? Listen, he deceives and lies, but he's got to get you to choose against what God has told you, which he has made clear to you, do not do this or do this. He comes along and goes like, you don't know. Come on, have some fun. Or whatever he lies to you about. Satan must convince members of the human race to choose volitionally against God's revealed will. In 1 Timothy 2:14 it says, it was not Adam who was deceived, but the woman, being quite deceived, fell into the transgression. She fell into Adam's transgression. She fell into Adam's transgression. He wasn't deceived by the devil. Adam wasn't deceived, yet he fell. But the woman fell because she was deceived. In a moment, we'll explain that. What was the transgression? It was violation of the Edenic law. The Edenic law was this. Listen to me, Genesis 2:17. The tree of knowledge of good and evil. Don't eat it. Eat of any of the trees you want, but don't eat the tree. For in the day you eat, dying you will die. That's not difficult. See all the trees? You can have any of them you want. See that tree in the middle? That's called the tree of knowledge. Say, it's the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Now do you see it? Do you understand it? Don't eat. Don't eat of the tree. You got it? Say after me, don't eat that tree. Don't eat that tree. Right. Say all the other trees, yeah, eat all you want. Say that tree, don't eat that tree. And the day, why? It don't matter. Look, don't eat the tree. In the day you do eat of that tree, dying you will die. You got that? Yeah. You see, am I trying to take all the trees away from you? Am I trying to make your life difficult? Is that what my job is? Oh no. My job is to give you more than your heart would desire. I want to give it all to you, my dear sweet thing. I want to give it all to you. But you see, if you get focused on the one thing I'm not going to give you, you're going to get in trouble. Do you know what he did? He focused on the one thing that was going to get him in trouble. He didn't go around and say, look at all the wonderful trees. You can eat this, you can eat that, you can eat this, you can eat that. That's not what he did. He focused on the one tree that God said you couldn't eat. Right? And listen, he used the tree as a disguise because it's not the tree, it's the truth. Listen to me, it was never about a tree. It was about the truth. Listen, it's not about a tree in your life. It's about the truth. Listen, it's the Word of God. It's not the tree, it's the Word of God. The Word of God said, don't eat of this tree. Eat of all those, but don't eat of this tree. And the day you eat of this tree, then you'll die. See, it was never about a tree. It was about the truth. And what he attacked was not the tree. He attacked the truth behind the tree. You need to understand that because he certainly understands that. And they fell into transgression, which was a violation of the truth. They violated the Word of God. You think you're going to get by it? When God reveals to you, the Word of God tells you this is the way it is. And I don't care how he lies to you about it and what you think. Listen, you get focused on what you can't do. Listen, you're going to miss all the trees that he's given to you. Because you're focused on the one you can't have. I see it happen with girls and boys in the dating kingdom. You know, that's the wild kingdom. I see it happen in the wild kingdom of dating all the time. You know who's behind that scheme? Are you listening to me? You know who's behind that scheme? You know who's running that deal? Because you're a free agent. He's got to get you to choose to leave all the good trees for the one bad. And by the way, good boys like bad girls too. Just to even the score. Can I tell you, stay with the good trees and not the bad. Satan kept them on their heels. Now watch this. He keeps them on their heels, not on their toes. If you read Genesis, the third chapter, and the story of the serpent under Satan's power, manipulating these two people, he kept them on their heels. Listen, the last place you want to be on a warfare is on your heels. Let me tell you, I played a pulling guard in football. And if you were ever on your heels, you were in trouble. Because somebody was pushing you to the other end of the world. Right, Jerry? You better not be on your heels if you're playing line. Because you're on your heels, you're in trouble. And listen, he got them on their heels and never let up. That means they played defensive the whole time and never offense. When you're on your toes, you're on offense. When you're on your heels, you're on defense. When you are on defense, you're in trouble. You haven't lost, but you're in trouble. You've got to get off your heels and get on your toes. People tell you that all the time. You need to be on your toes. Some people use that as an illustration. You've got to be on your toes. You've got to be on the offensive. As a free agent, you've got to be on offensive. Listen, you are greater than he is in Christ. You are greater than he is in Christ. You can knock him all over the block. But unless he gets in your head, Satan kept him on the defense. Next week, we're going to look at the armor. You know what people miss? They talk about, well, you know, the belt of truth, and they talk about the belt. I didn't give a rip about the belt. You know what it is? We're talking about, listen, the scheme of God that beats the devil is simple. Truth. Righteousness. Do you understand? Faith. These are the things that beat the devil. Truth, righteousness, the gospel of peace, faith. These are the things. The helmet of salvation and the sword of the Word of God. Is it, you know, people get, okay, well, the belt and the shoes and you go like, well, quit that. I don't care. You got any of that in your wardrobe? I mean, who's got a shield that's a whole body shield in your closet you get out every day? What about that? You're talking about faith. You're talking about faith that protects your whole being. We're talking about faith. We're talking about truth. We're talking about righteousness. We're talking about the gospel of peace. We're talking about faith. We're talking about salvation. And we're talking about the use of the Word of God. Not just having the Bible and carrying it around. We're talking about it as an offensive weapon. Being able to use the Word of God that you've got. Being able to use it. Not to carry it around and demonstrate it. Look at my Bible. We're talking about being able to use that as a weapon. Like Jesus did in Matthew, the 4th chapter. You want to know how to whip the devil? You beat him easy. You beat him with truth, righteousness, faith, gospel of peace, salvation, and the Word of God that you can apply to life. It's not difficult. But listen, if I told you right now, take a piece of paper out and tell me, give me a definition of each of those six things and a Bible verse that back it up, could you do it? Could you do it? You can't. You mean you're a football player playing on varsity and can't give me the play? You can't tell me what you're supposed to do on a specific play? I got six plays and you can't tell me what to do on those six plays? You just lost your position as varsity. Right, Don? Jesus teach you how to use that offensive weapon. The second scheme that I want you to understand with me today is Satan's attack against the revealed Word of God. He looks for kinks in our armor. He looks for kinks in our armor. And listen, he's going to look for kinks in our perception of truth, righteousness, gospel, faith, salvation, and the effectiveness of using the Word of God in our life, the effectiveness of being able to apply the Word of God to our life. So he's going to look for kinks in our theology. He's going to look for kinks. These are the major issues that we have to be solid in to fight him in the angelic conflict. You got to be solid about truth. You got to know about truth, righteousness, the gospel of peace, faith, salvation, and the effectiveness of the Word of God in your life. So he looks for kinks in our armor, and that's our armor. He looks for kinks in the way we perceive truth, or the way we perceive righteousness, or our gospel, or our faith. This is how he attacks us, as Paul will teach us in Ephesians 6. Listen, the true issue in the garden with Adam and Eve was not the tree. It was the truth. It was the Word of God. It wasn't about the tree, it was about the Word of God. Listen, he said, here are all the trees, but this tree here, don't eat of it. Because, you see, the transgression is found in the Word of God. They transgressed the Word of God. It wasn't about a tree, it was about truth. They violated the truth. And listen, the first armor that Paul talks about in the Christian life is truth. It's called the belt of truth. So one of the things that he's going to attack truth. He's going to attack righteousness. He's going to attack the gospel. He's going to attack faith. He's going to attack salvation. And listen, if you ever go out in mission, any kind of ministry mission work, you will see him attack that all the time. He'll attack your salvation, for by grace you're saved. He'll attack and say, no, it's not by grace, it's by works. So you want to be aware of that. So he looks for kinks in the armor. Looks for kinks in the armor. Flaws in our theology. And when you talk about, listen, when we say it wasn't about the tree, it was about the truth, here's the key. When you deal with the will of God, you deal with one thing that's primary in your mind. That's what the directive will of God is. You've got to know what the directive, that is. That is that will of God that has been revealed to you that you understand to be the will of God for your life. Whatever the issue, whatever doctrine the issue, the directive will of God. Out of that directive will of God, is once you get that stable, then you apply the geographical, where does he want me to apply that? The mental will of God, how does he want me to think in the application of it, and the operational will of God. Those, but you got to have the directive will of God, and out of that, then you apply the other three to it to make sure that, like Jonah, he says to Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh, and I want you to preach the gospel. All right, that's the directive will of God. Now, it involves the geographics of going there. It involves the operation of doing it. It involves the mental will of God, and that stayed focused on what the mission was. Now, you see what happened is that he went against the directive will of God, the truth. He went against the truth of God, chose not to go to, and he violated the geographics, the mental, and the operational will of God. Therefore, it destroyed the directive will of God in his life. Do you understand that? That's how that stuff works. See, that's how that works. He looks for kinks in your armor. And he did it with them. The directive will of God was Genesis 2:17, from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat from it, surely you will die. So he looks for that. Now watch Eve's flaw. Now watch this. Watch her kink in the armor. Watch her kink in the armor. She has a flaw, and that's what he's looking for. He knows that God's plan against him is truth, righteousness, the gospel, faith, right? Salvation, and the effectiveness of the use of the Word of God. Her flaw, watch this, and I tell you this 100 times if I've told you once. Don't read into the Word of God, read out of it. Stop reading into the Word of God. As soon as you get a little bit of information, you think that you've got all the answers. And half the time you do, and the other half you don't. It's the half you don't that you get in trouble with. Now listen, we saw her flaw when he got in a discussion about the tree, because for him it was all about the tree and not the truth. Agreed? His whole conversation with her about the tree. The tree, the tree, the tree, the tree. It's never about the truth. So, when he engages her in this, he's looking for that. Her flaw was, she said, God said, you shall not eat from it or touch it, lest you die. Do you understand that? God didn't tell him that. That's a flaw. She read into the scriptures, not out of them. You've got to quit reading your ideas into the Word of God and start getting God's out of it. You read out of the Bible, you don't read into it. She read in. Do you see how she read into it? My goodness, you see how she wrote it? Yes, of course she did. And he goes like, gotcha. Gotcha. He knew he had her. He knew. And listen, he had a kink in her armor regarding truth. And now he's going to pound that. He found her weakness, and now he's going to pound it. He's going to pound it. In 2 Corinthians 11:3, Paul warns us about this problem in Eve in our life. He said, but I am afraid, least as. In other words, I don't want you to fall into the same trap as hers. Because Satan's all the time setting snares. He's all the time trying to trap you. Looking for kinks so he can trap you. And so that's what he said. I am afraid, least as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds should be led astray from the simplicity and pure devotion to Christ. What does that mean? The truth. They understood the directive will of God. Don't eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. The day you eat, dying you'll die. That's it. It's not complicated. Eat all the other trees is yours, but this one's not. And see, it's about God's will. That's the directive will of God. Your job, the simple devotion, is to that truth. It's not complicated. It's not difficult. Just stay away from it. Just stay away from it. Stay positive the will of God. Stay positive the will of God. Eat from the other trees. Stay away from that one. Because why? It's truth. The directive will of God is about embracing the truth. But listen, Eve was deceived by the craftiness in her mind. In her mind. Do you understand? Deceived by the craftiness in her mind. Not his. He got it in her. And got her led astray from the simple devotion to Christ. Not complicated. This is why Jesus emphasizes truth. That's why we emphasize it here, not just study the Bible, but get the truth. Jesus said in John 8:32, "You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Free. Will set you free. The truth will set you free.
This is the end of Part B of this study. Please select Part C to continue.